watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 8:51 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. Call me Crow, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S is for 3 and O's.
Surprised neither of y'all have made fun of my Dixie Boys All-Star shirt that I still have somehow.
Was that your shirt when you were that size? Were you that size? When
no,
you
it
were?
Was my dad's shirt.
Okay.
He coached.
Like the biggest kid in the world.
That's it, great.
The other side of me giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. A man of taste. A man of leisure. Hey, you, Chief. On today's show, we're going over Auburn's dominant performance over the Kent State Golden Flashes, Nick Saban's alma mater. We're going to talk a little bit about AU soccer, and we're going to talk maybe some basketball.
Not 100%. We're going to talk basketball.
But before we do all that, what do we got first? I don't have the show
what kind of podcast?
We're a soccer podcast.
We're a soccer podcast, guys. Come on.
Sorry, the show notes aren't loading up on my computer. Mm. There we are.
It's kind of a bummer to start out on.
Last week in Auburn soccer, we took a loss.
Yeah.
Southern Miss Golden Eagles and tied Samford. Now, I didn't watch.
It's called a draw for the.
Yeah, draw.
Not on the Auburn website.
Got 1 point against Samford.
The actual game is called a tie. Between the two teams.
It's true.
Anyway.
That Samford game, guys, this was a bad week for Auburn soccer. Auburn should have annihilated Southern Miss and Samford.
I mean, we leaked 5 goals. That's almost as bad as the Everton team that is over.
There's a lot of back-end problems on the Auburn soccer team right now.
Is it the defense or the goalie?
This is an issue.
It's a unit.
Yeah, this is the issue with soccer. If you have a great goalie and a terrible back line, you're going to leak goals.
Yeah.
If you have a terrible back, if you have a great back line and a terrible goalie, you're going to leak goals. It's one unit, and they really shouldn't be separated. So I really can't pinpoint an individual person's fault, but you've got a team that had to claw its way from 2-0 down again. So Auburn allowed 4 straight goals before scoring a goal.
That is...
Then all of a sudden came back. Take a 3-2 lead against Samford, which should be Church.
Yeah.
And then they allow Samford to score. Then all of a sudden.
PK at the end? Was that what the.
I think it was, yeah.
In then, the last minute or two?
Then you go to double overtime. And then at the end, 2 overtimes in college soccer, that's it.
And then you have to go for 2.
You should. And then just every goal's worth 2.
Golden goal is what they should do, right?
They did golden goal.
Oh.
Both overtime were golden goal.
Yeah, okay.
Which is sudden death. They don't call sudden death because death.
See, what they should do is every couple of minutes they take somebody off of each team, then it shrinks.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Every 5 minutes you lose somebody.
Horrible it would be for 2 people to play against each other in a full size pitch.
One
little mistake
just
and it's
running.
Over.
Oh my god, you guys, what happens next? Are they gonna lose me?
What happens happens if they just hack them down? Yellow card professional foul.
College soccer, you can sub like in the middle of plays, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
I would assume they would have to
like unlimited subs.
Do that at that point.
You can't sub. It's like hockey. You can't just
on
subs.
They have to let them call you on.
Line changes would be, that would make soccer a lot more fun. You just have line changes.
So you're saying soccer would be better if it was hockey?
Yeah. Because hockey's great.
I mean, hockey is soccer on ice.
Yeah. Next week, Auburn goes on the road.
With blades on your feet.
Tries to find some defense at Kentucky, which is they're a traditionally strong soccer school. And then they go to at Old Dominion University. And at some point, Thursday and Sunday, 2 games. Sneeze right in the mic. I should do it right in the microphone.
Bless you.
Oh, man. I'm just allergic to losing and ties in soccer. at some point, you got to figure Auburn's going to find some defense. We're the only Auburn podcast that has sneezes and coughs, I feel like, on the microphone, because we're authentic.
Strange noises at the Greek.
That would have been Chief kicking a pair of safety glasses.
Whoa, don't break the mat. No,
don't break the fourth wall.
Well, we already broke a wall earlier today.
We did.
Oh, yeah. The safety glasses are out.
These two guys put up Crow's lovely wife and daughter put up some drywall tonight.
On some sheetrock. It's not a big deal. Yeah, big shout out to Ryan for coming over early and doing some drywall. Drywall
chicken.
So basketball, moving right along to the sport this school is known for. We are currently 50 days, Austin Wylie days, from tip-off.
That's right.
We're
reading the site today as we record this. You would have seen an article about
KT Horrell.
Yeah.
So we did the 100-day countdown for football this year.
And it was great.
It was great, and it about killed me.
Yeah. So a lot of content.
If you aren't familiar with it, it's not like many people's countdowns where you just use a jersey number.
Jersey numbers are too easy.
Well, everybody does it now.
So. Right. And so Will McLaughlin, our head basketball writer, is doing a pretty cool countdown. It's basically the top individual scoring games of the last decade. So, and he's doing the top 50. We'll do one a day, except for today he did just kind of a group of KT Horrell's games. He had four games of 25 points, which is where the list starts at 25. We'll count up. And, so we had, what were the four games on there?
This, he had at South Carolina, February 2014, and then December 2014 versus...
That was against Coastal.
Against Coastal Carolina?
Yeah.
And then he did it again against North Alabama, January 2014. And then again against Texas A&M in that magical 2015 SEC tournament.
I think that's the game everybody remembers.
Yeah.
It was the SEC tournament game. This was when you still had bad Auburn.
Yeah.
And even through the end of the regular season, like, you were the 13 seed. You know, you're just hoping you go win a game.
Yeah.
You just kind of feel good about it. And... it did. This was the same tournament, correct me if I'm wrong, that we beat LSU, got into some fights with LSU.
Yeah.
And, that was the Ben Simmons team, right?
This was the Ben.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Simmons was the 2015 first round draft pick by the Sixers.
Right. So this would have been the tournament before that. And so Auburn, on the back of KT Horrell, gets to the SEC tournament semifinals, and the quarterfinals is when they beat Texas A&M, and he put up 25 in that game.
Right.
And it was at the end of his career. You know, he graduated in 2015. And it was hard to see, you know, you have all these great players, even when your teams are bad, you always remember the best player on the team.
Right.
He was really kind of one of the foundational players that was here when Bruce got here. And kind of set the stage for what we should be expecting from Auburn basketball.
2015 LSU, 2014-15 LSU Tigers did not have Ben Simmons. He was 2015-16.
Oh, okay. It's the year before Ben Simmons. Gotcha. Yeah. KT was one of those guys that was, he came in under Barbie. He transferred in because he is from Montgomery, I believe is correct. Anybody remember?
I do not remember.
Think so. I think that's right.
Guys, Auburn went 4-14 in conference that year.
Yeah, not good.
Should have been shirts then.
Yeah.
Not good. And so KT went to Virginia and then transferred to Auburn and sat out a year and then played. So KT had been here a while. But did he play 3 years or 2 years?
I want to say he played three.
That's what I think, too.
But KT does not have a Wikipedia page.
Well, KT had a great beard, and he could shoot. So,
you know who does? Point God, Simeon Bowers has a Wikipedia page.
Really?
Simeon Henry Bowers is an American professional basketball player who last played for FMP of the Adriatic League. FMP is in... Belgrade, Serbia.
Yeah.
The ABA League, Basketball League of Serbia, the Adriatic Basketball League. Now, it's not one of the top leagues. Not the top teams in Belgrade. The best team in Belgrade is Red Star.
So a little background.
Multiple teams in Belgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Serbia's basketball crazy.
The Serbs love the basketball.
Oh, man. Like you wouldn't believe.
A little background on KT. So you're right. He's from Montgomery.
Yeah.
He went to Brubaker Tech Magnet School.
Okay.
Whatever in Montgomery.
Interesting.
I'm not really familiar with Montgomery.
Jack.
Yeah.
Let us know.
What's up, Jack? Went to Virginia, like you said, yeah. Played there for 2 years, and okay. Then transferred out to Auburn for his last
okay.
2 years.
Yeah, he redshirted and then
right.
The last two. Okay. That sounds right.
But yeah, I mean, he was far and away the best player on those two teams.
He was really good. I want to say he actually played at Virginia. And
as a freshman, he started 15 games.
Yeah, I can't remember the circumstances of that.
I don't know if it was – he said it looks like he only played 11 games his sophomore year there. I don't know if there was an injury or whatever happened.
Well, the basketball, stuff like that happens. Guys don't get as much playing time. And
so he was actually a better three-point shooter his senior year than Bryce Brown was last year.
Yeah.
He was maybe not on volume, but he was a 43% shooter on 6 attempts a game.
Yeah, so. I remember back during our whole run when we were all talking about hypotheticals, like other guys you'd want to see on this team that we had, and KT was at the top of the list. It would have been cool to see him on a team like what we had the last couple of years.
Mm.
No disrespect to any of those guys on the two teams that KT was on. Those guys played hard and just didn't get the results.
Yeah, I mean, if he had been on a halfway decent team, even that's making, NITs, he would be a beloved basketball player here, I think.
Yeah, but that tournament run, it was really nice to see the KT, Jordan Granger, those guys in there, finally get some reward for all the work they've put in.
Did you guys know that Simeon Bowers played in the basketball tournament?
Sort of.
He was
on a roster. He didn't play very much.
2018 edition on a team called Golden Eagles.
Yeah, the Marquette alum.
Yeah.
I think he played there for his freshman year.
Yeah. Maybe? Before that, he played in Serbia, right? Like I said, 2018-2019 edition of the Adriatic League. Mm-hmm. He played for a team called Earth Friends Tokyo Z in Japan.
Oh, that sounds... Guys, right now there's nothing more I want to do than hang out in Tokyo, Japan with Simeon Bowers.
Yes! Wearing an Earth Friends Tokyo Z jersey.
How much fun and how wild would that have been? Imagine that.
They're in the second
crazy
division.
Time you could have Simeon.
Robert Gilchrist.
Over here.
Are we talking about Simeon because he's a tomorrow's guy? Is that why we're
talking about? Oh, is he?
I don't know. Who is tomorrow's guy?
Jared Harper.
That's right.
We'll honestly, you probably will have read it before hear this podcast, but we'll hold off just in case. Get to the site if you haven't read it yet, and we'll see what Jared Harper did.
Yeah.
I think it's a game from last season.
I'm sure Simeon is coming up at some point in this game.
I don't know. Did he ever have 25 in a game?
Maybe.
Possibly.
He did play point guard.
I wonder if he did for Star Earth Friends Tokyo Z.
He did take a lot of three-pointers.
Fair.
His teams that he's played on, FMP... The Wisconsin Herb of the G League. Earth Friends Tokyo Z. The Pure Food Star Hot Shots. That's got to be the Filipino League. Yep. And Hapoel Galil Elyon in Israel. So that was his first job out of college was with Hapoel Galil Elyon.
Basketball's really big in Israel.
Really big.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not a place you'd think, hey... There's a lot of basketball. They have a big league there, right?
Oh, yeah. Big in Israel, big in Northern Africa, Libya, Tunisia.
Hmm.
Those are basketball hotspots. Nothing like the Baltics.
Right.
The Balkans, I mean. So
Lithuania, Serbia.
Yeah. So, yeah, Serbia, Slovenia, Slovakia,
Czech Republic.
It's big in...
Big in Spain, right?
Spain, who just won the World Cup of basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not the U.S.
The U.S. finished seventh.
America do.
That is...
Embarrassingly
absurd.
Seventh. Yeah.
And because, tell everyone why.
The real reason why, guys, is Space Jam 2.
Woo!
Because Space Jam 2 is filming in Los Angeles this summer, and that's where all the best players are going
to
be.
So, I do want to clarify something, because there was a bunch of back and forth, I think... in the media about it, of was it the player's fault or
yes, it's the player's fault.
Basically, Popovich kind of came out and was getting mad at people for saying, "Oh, this is ridiculous. They were doing the best they could," and yada yada yada. I don't think anybody was upset with the players on that team.
Yeah, right? No.
It's the players that weren't on the team that people were upset about, right?
My opinion of the players who were on the team, it's really funny, it's very similar to our good friend Josh's opinion of the Auburn offensive line.
Oh.
These guys are doing the absolute best they can.
Sure.
The problem is that these are the guys on the team.
Yeah.
Like, it should be not Kimba Walker as our best player. I love Kimba Walker, but sure, he shouldn't be our best player. There were guys on Team USA I didn't know, and I watch 50 NBA games a year, and there were guys I didn't know.
Well, this is not the first time something like this has happened where we didn't send our best, correct?
It's like every 15 years. Yeah. Every 15 years, the U.S. will get embarrassed.
So next Olympics, we'll have like everybody play, right?
Hopefully.
And then blow through people?
This next Olympics, you're looking at, we could see an extremely dominant Anthony Davis in the Olympics.
I want Bruce Pearl to coach Team USA.
We have Pop, the best coach on earth.
He did coach Israel's team in a tournament.
I think you're right.
The Maccabi or whatever.
I just want to see Bruce Pearl in the Olympics. Like, I don't know. That seems like
he would love it.
Oh, yeah. He would get so into it.
Yeah. They should let college. No, they shouldn't. They should never allow another college coach to do it again, because it was the most unbelievable recruiting disadvantage that Coach K put everyone else at.
They should let college coaches coach non-Team USA.
Yeah.
Like any other foreign country, have an affiliation to it.
Yeah.
Coach K could do Israel.
Team Slovenia. Coach K would be Team Poland. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And we're back. And we're going to talk a little bit about the offensive line that I mentioned earlier.
I forgot I was going to make a noise for our break.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, we're back from the break. Auburn played Kent State, the Golden Flashes. What can you say about a game against a team that Auburn should have beaten by 35, and they did?
Well, I've heard they have a very attractive head coach. That's what the ladies say.
I didn't see any of that until, like, well after the
game. Yeah, me either. But, that's what I heard.
He's a young guy with a beard.
I don't even know what he looks like.
Well.
Just saying, Chief.
Just like you, Chief.
He's younger than Chief.
I'm sure he's younger than me. That's what I was thinking.
He's like 32?
He's 33. Yeah. He hired it as a 31-year-old. It's
your age.
It's my age.
He was the offensive coordinator for those fun Syracuse teams a couple years ago. That'd be Clemson.
Man, maybe he'll be coaching Auburn one day.
He's a hot name right now. We'll see.
Speaking of coaching Auburn one day, the guy who is currently coaching Auburn, Gus Malzahn, shout out to Brandon Marcello. That was the best thing he's ever written.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was super good.
Yeah.
Like it was a...
It seemed to be universally accepted.
Really well-written piece about Christy Malzahn, who is a gem. And we need to keep her around as long as possible. She's awesome.
And so the premise of the article was he basically spent the game with her.
Yeah. And he didn't watch the game.
Right. So what is game day for the First Lady of Auburn, basically?
Right. He didn't have to stay in that press box. It's the main thing. He got out of the press
box. That's the plan.
That's the whole plan.
That's why I'm so happy. That's why the article was upbeat. Didn't have to be up there.
Yeah. So the rest of us who watched the game not with the First Lady of Auburn football, Lady Christy Malzahn, we saw a very easy win by the Auburn Tigers, which was expected.
Yeah.
It was expected, but it was one of those, maybe just Auburn fans being Auburn fans of, well, you know, we could mess this up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Josh.
I mean, this should have always been a blowout. This is worse than the JSU team that we played in the homecoming. I mean.
This is the worst team we've ever played.
Well, that JSU team wasn't bad.
Exactly. That was the point, though. Like, this is one of the bottom 10 teams in the FBS.
I sat with Josh Black this time. And as we sat down, both were like, I just want to see Auburn run the ball successfully. Like, literally, I think Josh is in the like, if we can run for 100 yards in the first half, that'd be a pretty successful day.
Yeah.
But we have 467 yards against this team. We only threw 17 passes the whole game.
Yeah. We didn't. We might have thrown 2 passes in the second half?
Yeah.
Joey had one, and then the flea flicker.
I didn't see Joey's pass. I left.
I did.
It was just a 5-yard kind of dump
off.
I left the stadium at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and Auburn scored like 2 more touchdowns.
Right.
The biggest takeaway from the game, I think, was the 300 yard, three separate 100-yard rushers we had for the first time since 1983.
Yeah. One of them is Joey Gable. One of them didn't start playing really until the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say that, like, anybody, that's crazy talk to think there's a quarterback controversy after that, though.
I mean,
there's a Wildcat.
It's Auburn fans.
Here's the thing. It shows you that there can be a scenario where Joey plays more than a backup.
Well, sure. I think
that needs to be employed, and I think hopefully that's what we were seeing.
I think the thing maybe everybody has forgotten about every first three games under Gus Malzahn is we don't run any plays.
Right.
Like, it's the same stuff. We don't ever fully get going until four or five games in. Like, there's nothing really to worry about, and we still blew a team out.
So we really... The weird thing about this year, though, is we are running plays that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I think it's a... Like, we talk about this on the Slack. This power G stuff, where we're pulling the guard and the tackle, is a very Memphis concept.
We also have to do that, I think.
We kind of have to do it with because of the personnel. But it's working.
Yeah.
And it's a trendy...
Well, you do what you have to do.
You're seeing the Rams do it in the NFL. You're seeing a lot of teams... The hot, trendy offense is doing it, and Auburn's able to do it. And I wonder how much of that's Dillingham coming in. But also, I wonder, like, is Gus evolving with the evolving with the offensive?
Well, it's Gus evolving, but it's also Gus doing the most basic thing his offense has always done.
Yeah, he's
it's
always
power run guard. Game with pulling linemen. I mean, that's the wing T.
He loves pulling those guards. Like,
so was it 2013? We led America in rushing yards.
I think we were ahead of the academies in rushing yards. And had a tech
in the SEC.
I think the deal is we have to figure out how to get Joey in the Wildcat, but naturally and in a way that doesn't upset the rhythm of the game.
Here's what I think.
It can't be a play here and there.
Right.
But you also don't want it to be a quarter.
You put Bo in. If Bo ever gets Auburn up by two possessions, so 10 points, you put the closer in, and you just milk.
Well, Tommy Tuberville is not our coach. So.
Well, I mean, that is a good point, though. I mean, if you got to feel like you're limited in your run game with Bo, if you just because you don't want him to take shots, he doesn't need.
Well, you're
to
basically running the option.
You're running a triple, right? And we don't really even run triple that.
No, it's just Joey and Booby or Cam or.
Well, triple in that your RPO is kind of triple.
Yeah, that's true. Joey's not going to pass a lot this year, I don't think. But I mean, I think having him pass the other night was to show that he can do it.
Just, like, put it on tape.
Because we have the only way you can run him in for extended periods of time in a game, I think, that you're not just killing somebody and you're trying to just run, grind them out, is if they think he can pass.
Did we run the Wildcat at all in this Kent State game? I don't remember seeing it.
It seems like maybe Booby got a snap one time, but I can't.
It didn't.
We did run Wildcat with Booby once. Or we ran with Joey a couple times, too.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is after the Tulane game, we talked about... You know,
I mean, it was basically Wildcat the entire
second. But that's what we talked about for the Tulane game is, hey, if you're going to run Booby that much, you've got to find ways to get him breathers as well. So it doesn't make sense to give him a bunch of direct snaps if you're also going to run him 20-plus times outside of that. So if we can employ Joey there, and that's kind of, you know, that's what we ran in the fourth quarter.
I'd like to see us be able to put Joey in the game and not have him behind center, just have him make him think he was going to be, and then just have him blocking on the edge. Because
he can play tight end in high school.
Sure.
Even just if he's a decoy.
Yeah.
I don't have to throw to him that much.
Yeah.
Here's your over-under. And if you're listening to this and you're in the College of Magnolia Slack, this is for you as well. Over-under. This is Malik Willis's career passing at Auburn.
Mm.
He attempted 14 passes at Auburn quarterback.
I believe it.
Will Joey Gatewood attempt more passes this season than the 7 passes Malik Willis attempted each year of his college career? So 7 is the over-under on how many passes Joey Gatewood will attempt as Auburn's quarterback.
Yeah, Sanford still is good.
19.
I'm...
If you take away the Sanford game,
no, including the Sanford game.
And over.
Over, okay. Because he played the Kent State game,
right?
Right. Through one.
One.
But this will be at the end of the season when you're not as worried about getting Bo in rhythm.
I'm gonna push.
Seven?
Yeah.
Seven. He's currently six left. And yeah, he didn't know any in previous weeks.
Right. Because he has one right now. He's
one for one. I think we're going to... Gus is a cautious man. I think we all know this. I think...
he is and he isn't. Like, he's risk-averse to a point, but
yeah,
not...
Yeah, he doesn't like to put guys in positions where they could fail.
Right.
And I just think unless we're just absolutely murdering somebody, he's probably not going to have Joey throw. Although... He's going to want it on tape, as we just mentioned, when we get to Alabama, when we get to Georgia, when we get to LSU. So, I mean, maybe.
Arkansas, you're going to be the crash test dummy.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yeah. Joey has two attempts. He did throw. Oh, he threw a pass. Wait a minute. It claims he threw a pass last year.
Oh, in the bowl game.
That's yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah. He currently has two career attempts. He only has one attempt for this year. So, it's seven for this year.
Is Joey Gatewood our best running back?
No, because Cam Martin is. And I'm going to make this...
Oh,
here's the thing. I was going to bring this up, so I'm glad Chief did.
He's not even one of the 100-yard rushers.
What I think makes Cam Martin Auburn's best back is Cam Martin, at this point in his career now, finally knows who he is. The worst thing that happened to Cam was being on the same team as Kerryon Johnson. Because then when Kerryon left, he thought he needed to be the patient...
Okay.
Wait for a hole, then go to a hole running. And that's just not going to ever be him. And it really isn't Booby Whitlow either.
No, it's
he's
not.
Trying that's to do the same thing.
Yeah, it's not.
But Booby's better at that than Cam is.
Cam is a...
Just hit it.
He is an elite running back at, there is the hole.
Go.
The play is drawn to go here.
I think the problem is we don't have the offensive line.
Yes,
right.
That's the thing. If we were able to say, hey, there's going to be a hole here, one
hit
there.
It. He's great.
He'd be great, but we can't do that.
No.
Well, and this is why I think... You're going to see more of these when Cam's in the game. There are going to be more of those pulling both guards, pulling both tackles, where the hole has to be here or it's not going to exist.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to read. He doesn't have to do anything. Because once he's in space, he does a really good job making guys miss. He was untouched on his touchdown run.
Yeah.
Untouched because he saw the hole and then was able to just get to the end zone before anybody could find him. And that was a long run.
You know how big some of those Kent State defensive tackles were?
I know.
They were about 280. You know,
but pretty tiny. What I'm saying is he was a 4-star recruit because he found hole. He was told where to go and there was a hole when he got there and he gets to the end zone.
I think we may have seen that he's third in the pecking order at this point. John Shivers finally got
the
chance to...
If Sean Shivers didn't get to play.
Right.
But who knows if he's going to get to play or not.
Well, he had, I think, 12 carries in this game.
He did really well when he got in this game, but...
Although, I will say, seeing Joey Gatewood at quarterback and Sean Shivers running back, I will never get tired of that.
Yeah, gigantic quarterback,
it was kind
tiny
of like,
running back.
It was similar to seeing Cam hand the ball off to Mike Dyer.
Or on Terry McCaleb, who was just...
He wasn't that short, though, at least.
No, he was just whisper thin.
Just the skinniest guy I've ever seen in a football game.
I think... McHale must have had a 26-inch waist.
Although, like, the flip side of that was Joey Gatewood handing the ball after Harold Joyner.
Yeah.
With two 6'4 guys.
Dude,
back there.
Harold Joyner is my favorite running back that we have. Because he looks crazy back there because he's so big.
Mine's Malik Miller because he's still just like...
He had a few good runs.
How's he doing? How is this possible? How does this guy keep getting open?
Man.
I love it. I love
it. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch because there was no... There's no worry at all. There's no...
Cam had 71 yards on 7 carries.
I mean, that's
but almost
good.
Everybody averaged like 8 or 9 a carry.
Shivers had 12 carries for 102. That's not even
that's
10.
That's 8. That's over 8.
It's not even 10.
Gate with 12 carries for 102. That's exactly the same as Shivers. Whitlow is 17 carries for 135. I'm looking at Cam Martin. Yards per attempt. It is staggering.
All right. Okay. All right.
So is there anybody specific we were impressed with? I mean, even knowing the opponent, is there anybody that's like, man, he had a great game?
I thought Bailey Sharp had a good game.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
I'll tell you somebody who's had a good season. Our only tight end, who is now playing receiver.
Sal. Made a great
Salvatore
catch.
Yeah, that was a great catch.
Sal Canella's having a really nice 2019.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
I don't know.
He's got a couple catches a game.
I don't know if I love that he's
getting the volume.
The option.
He's a big dude, and
he's making it happen.
Yeah.
He's getting open.
And he had a good game blocking. And you know who else had a good game blocking? Matthew Hill had a couple of really nice blocks. Yeah, he actually
didn't get the ball at all in this game.
But he had some good edge blocks.
Going to earn him some playing time.
Which will get you on the field in this offense.
Man, the guy that stood out to me is on the other side of the ball. Tyrone Truesdale had a great game.
Yeah,
especially in that first half. You know, Derrick Brown went out with the injury early. Still not totally sure what that's about. But Truesdale, it seemed like every couple plays, he was the guy in the backfield, just throwing some poor offensive lineman to the side.
Well, there's also Marlon, too, that was also... Yeah.
Marlon had 2.5 sacks in this game.
He's named SEC defensive player or defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman of the week.
For the second straight week.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good when you think about this league.
Right.
And it's not like other teams didn't, you know, play anybody.
There's plenty of cupcakes this past week.
Yeah, so...
We're going to need Derrick Brown back next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why I did not mind at all that he didn't come back last week.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's okay.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I think Marlon Davidson was basically on every single snap. He played
the
whole game.
We'll have a nerd to the snap tracker
that
later
was
this week.
Kind of absurd.
And was just 100%... juice. Like he was so fired up about this game.
Marlon knows what he's working for right now. So
yeah.
And that's probably why he got to stay in the game all night.
He got a lot of clips they're gonna show during the NFL draft on that game.
Well, and they had some fun getting after Woody Barrett too. I mean, could tell Woody was still friends with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously overmatched.
Woody struggled pretty early.
Yeah,
but
okay, he was like 3 of 11 for passing, but he ran the ball all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good to see how Gus and him still have a close relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
There were no hard feelings. We wouldn't be very
I think it was just one of those situations where he knew it just wasn't the right fit for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did have that targeting call, though. That was
Smoke Monday out for the first
half.
It's
not good.
Of game.
That's not good.
I mean, it's
probably
better smoke than Biggie or Denson or somebody like that. Or Roger McCreary, who has been...
I was going to say, McCreary had a great game.
Again. It's three straight games.
Yeah. Now, is it...
Look, I wonder if he's going to start.
He's got such a country music name.
He does. Roger McCreary and the Level Line. It's a good country band.
Yeah, there you go.
The Level Line.
It's a free one for you, Roger.
Here's the thing, guys. Is Noah Igbinoghene incredible?
Yes.
Or do other teams just think that he is? Because they don't throw the ball to his side of the field.
I don't know if I've heard his name called all
the
last 2 weeks.
Because nobody's
in
throwing
to him. In the first part of the second half, they threw the ball to his side a bunch, but not to his man.
Right.
And he made a bunch of tackles.
Yeah.
He is glue on his receiver.
That was it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, no one's even testing it.
Yeah.
Oregon didn't even.
And it's not like
I don't want anything to do with it.
It's not the corners on the other side have been bad. I mean, McCurry's been really good. Davis has been pretty good.
Besides that one play against
Oregon. Right. And I think Christian Tudd is starting to be the guy they pick on.
Yeah, he had a couple of rough outings Saturday.
And then he's still a very good overall player. He's still learning.
He's gonna bust a punt return for touchdown.
Oh,
two.
Yeah, let it out.
Really thought he was gonna do it this week.
Yeah. They didn't give him much to work with. Their puncher was
pretty
bad.
Spoiler for later, we might be talking about another punter.
Yeah. And with that, moving right on into Varner's and Bunkers of the week.
Do we want to talk about Bo Nix just for a second?
Oh, yeah. Bo Nix.
It was kind of a weird outing for him because he was fine. He was, 12 of 16?
Yeah.
160 yards?
Yeah. What kind of QBR is that?
I couldn't
tell. One TD,
great.
No interceptions?
Because not a whole lot of yards.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
QBR is not going to be
right.
You'll see, actually, I've seen, you'll see NFL quarterbacks with those numbers.
Right. It was.
Not trying to say he's a. I've seen Cam Newton have these exact same numbers in a game that they won.
But
he went out there, did not make any interceptions, basically.
Right. But there was a couple of throws. I mean, there was the one to Sal that, you know, he had to reach behind, what we talked about.
Yeah.
Not a good throw.
And there was a couple of deep balls where you could tell the footwork wasn't right.
He had Will Hastings for a touchdown and missed him again.
But you know, they had the flea flicker to stove, which was
the
a
flea
dime.
Flicker was the greatest
was so
flea
fun.
Flicker I've ever
that
seen.
That was the slowest flea flicker.
It was.
I was like,
Cam just kind of turned and went, all right, here you go.
What is going on?
You watched the replay. 11 Kent State defenders thought it was a run and poured at the line. And then you had Eli Stove streaking towards the end zone. Yeah. Sorry. Oh. The full cast started playing on my Siri hit play.
It's a free ad for the full cast there.
That's hilarious.
He kept the ball a couple times on the ground. That was good to see.
Yeah.
He had, 215-yard gains.
The rushing touchdown, Gus lit into him afterwards. Because
I don't think he was supposed to keep
that. He was not supposed to keep that ball.
And the thing is, I think if it was a read play,
it was the same
made the
play.
Right read.
It was wide open. It was the same play.
I think he was supposed to hand the ball
off. Right. They're like, do it again, hand the ball off this time. And he was like, no.
If we want to make a direct cam comparison, I think Bo Nix is a better punter than Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not as good as Chris F. Todd, though.
Record-breaking Chris Todd.
Bo Nix has a bit of Johnny Manziel in him, only in his running form.
He
kind of runs like he just, like, his arms and legs don't work at the same time, but they're all
quick.
Really good.
Same as Johnny's.
Yeah,
quick.
It works.
Yeah.
You have, like, the Kyler Murray, who just looks like he's running.
Shot out of a cannon.
Mm-hmm. Then you've got Johnny Manziel, who's running every direction at once.
Yes.
And so you don't know which way he's going to go. And I think that's more of the Bo Nix style.
Interesting comparison on A&M week.
I know. I thought about that because I watched the replay of Bo Nix's. There was a couple of really good YouTubes made about how the quarterback run this week set up other runs.
Man.
And, couple good YouTubes.
Who's putting these out?
YouTube.com.
Oh.
Stat Tiger. That one.
Oh,
Crow is a master of the internet.
Yeah. YouTubes? A couple of YouTubes? Well, first of all, YouTube was at the game. And they put this thing out.
Speaking of, I have got YouTube TV now.
Nice. You cut the old cord?
Well, I tried to today. I'm not sure if you've ever tried to cut the cord before, but they don't like.
Tell me, Ruben.
I physically cut a cord last week. Literally, physically cut a cable cord out of this house.
Oh,
because there are whoever owned this house before us loved cable television and needed it in every room. And needed the cables to be hung from the ceiling with a big bored hole. Just as you can see one right there over your
office.
Podcasting visual medium. Just hanging down in the middle of the room. Every room in this house had that.
Hmm.
It was horrible looking. So we had to remove some. But I've literally cut a few cables.
Nice.
Yeah, we don't have cable TV either. Never will.
I'm a Hulu man myself.
Never again will I have cable
TV. I have the $1.99 version of Hulu or whatever. Yeah.
You pay $199?
No. Actually, I think it's only 99 cents. It's just a dollar a month for a year or whatever.
I think Bo Nix had as good of a game as I wanted him to.
Yeah, that was fine.
I don't know what
people want from the guy.
He probably never warmed up. You think about it, he threw 16 passes for the entire game.
That's 4 hours long. That's half of what he threw in the first half last week.
Did Bo Nix need to take a shower after the game?
But
it was really hot. I needed to take a shower.
Yeah, so.
Everybody that was outside needed to.
I took a shower after the game. I didn't play.
Yeah, but Bo Nix has been fine through.
But his jersey was clean.
Here's a real spoiler. We haven't done our position grades yet, have we?
I don't know if you've sent them to me or not.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
I haven't posted it yet.
Okay. Here's a spoiler for you. Here's a hot tip. I'm giving him a B again this week.
Wow. You got to wake up pretty early to make an A in Chiefs grade.
He's just a B right now. He's not doing anything that he doesn't need to do, really, and he's been playing fine.
May have to next week, but
we'll see.
B is for diploma. Let's go Barners and Bunkers of the Week, finally. Now, this is not Champs and Chumps of the Week. This is totally different.
This is a Louis podcast now.
Yeah, well, we're not sponsored by any places.
Whoa!
We did eat at Louis earlier. Shout out to Coach Chiz.
Did you get the honey mustard? They got great honey mustard.
Oh, that next time.
Your potato salad is phenomenal.
Dude, it's legitimately good.
They have excellent fried okra.
Okay.
I hadn't anything I didn't like there.
Bar of the week, I think all of us on the Slack agreed that Bailey Sharp, who acquitted himself well but then got hurt.
Got his first start.
This is for James and Lydia Jones.
Fifth year guy.
Bailey Lee Sharp. Yeah.
Yep.
Record that one, Crow.
Never heard that one in my house.
I'm sure that I'm not the only one that James is not the first one to say it. to do that.
No, I feel bad for him, though, because he played well. He got his first career start. He's a fifth-year senior. And it was kind of a focus, I think, in a lot of the beat writers' post-game interviews where it was, you know, he gave a couple good lines. And, you know, this was, you know, everything he ever dreamed of.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
He grew up wanting to be an Auburn offensive lineman.
That's a start and for Auburn.
It's just awful that he got taken away from him.
Yeah,
so he's only out. He's out 6 weeks. He could come back and play.
He could. I mean,
woke up the next morning.
Yeah,
wasn't hurt in the game. Woke up the next morning with a little pain in his knee.
I think he knew when it happened, but he just thought, yeah, it's not a big deal. And then he probably knew the next day.
He's a football guy. Man, that's a bummer.
So fingers crossed he can come back. I don't really know what the situation is.
Fingers crossed that Tega is okay to go this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not. Did he ever say what he
not? You know what happened.
But
Brodarius. We get Brodarius Ham.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about Brodarius Ham. Because he has to go off. With the name like Brodarius
Ham. Oh, he has to.
Well, and what happens?
Here's the deal. We have to move.
Oh, I don't like that.
We
got to
play
all.
A shuffle. We're going to do musical linemen, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't like that anymore.
Hey, Caleb Kim might end up at running back. I don't know.
Man. Well,
he can't be. Worse.
Hey, whoa. Try not to be too critical.
Chance of the week, reluctantly. We've all got UGA fans. I don't know why we have them. Why is that? Why are we?
I am not a part of this.
Okay. I ain't no blog.
Noted Georgia hater.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one that proposed this.
Uh-huh.
Bulldog
fans.
Explain yourself.
If you know the Arkansas State head coach, Blake Anderson.
I don't. You could have given me a thousand guesses. I have no idea. I've guessed. Yeah. That's his name.
He's been the head coach there for a couple years now. His wife passed away like the week before the season started from breast cancer. I think this was his first game back. And so I think it may have actually come from the Georgia SB Nation site where they kind of started a pink out. You know, a lot of people painted up and they did a lot of stuff to kind of honor his wife.
Was the
they did a really good job.
Was the Spike shoulder pad guy in? Pink?
Yeah, they were all in pink.
Wow. Was he really?
It was the students in the short beds. Apparently they do that now too. I don't know. Anyways.
No, that guy. That
I am hard pressed to say anything good about Georgia, but I'm going to do it now. Props. Y'all did awesome.
Well, let's move right along from that. Marlon Davidson's monster performance. Champ. Yeah. He's a Barner of the week.
Yeah. Great, great job, Marlon.
Return of the quarterback keeper. This is all from AU Nerd. AU Nerd, who drives traffic to our website.
Yeah. The only guy that.
The most successful writer.
He's the partner of the week.
He does great work. So,
yeah.
What people love the recruiting.
And then, who else we have? We have Bailey Sharp, Eli Stove. Yeah.
Stove is kind of becoming the guy at receiver right now.
Tyron
Truesdale. As long as Seth's out.
Yeah.
Is Seth going to be back this week?
I don't know. See, I thought it might have been like. Broken collarbone or something like that when it happened, and it sounds like it may not have been.
So Shivers, so
we'll he was celebrating on the sideline. He was fine.
Schwartz, we didn't talk about this.
He caught a pass.
He did not have a cast. He had a heavily taped hand this time.
Yeah,
looked like probably a wrist brace.
You can still take a hand off on the end around with that.
Yeah. He caught a pass.
Yeah, he caught a pass. Yeah. So maybe this week he'll be down to less tape, and then next week,
you know, they threw him a pass. Literally, so that on film
they'll be like, "Well, we got to cover him now."
Yeah, he caught it, guys.
He did.
Bunkers of the week.
Mm.
Bill McLaughlin, Dr. McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Firm wrote.
Oh, I thought you were calling Dr. McLaughlin a bunker.
No, Lord no.
Speaking of, he's a Barner. Congrats.
Got a job in Nashville.
Oh yeah,
The portion of the fan base that would rather lose because they hate Gus so much is his bunker of the week. And that was real.
I've seen a lot of it today. On
wait, we're back on this
at the twitter.com.
I missed that today,
dude. Come on, guys. It is very real. There's a portion of them who just Auburn could win the national championship.
I don't care who's our coach. I want to win.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, it's kind of like the
now, not later. Now
it's kind of like the hypothetical I posed there a couple weeks ago of if Auburn were to beat Georgia or LSU or somebody big, but only do it 10-7, how pissed off would people be?
I think people would be
the offense almost
excited.
Gave it away.
Depends on how that 10-7 went.
Like 10 years ago in the Toba era, that's like a legendary
normal,
Auburn game.
Dude,
it's a
normal I'd have been game. Excited right. about that. I used to love a big defensive struggle.
Like a 7-3 LSU Auburn game.
We've been conditioned to not accept that anymore.
But if it's a guy whose offense is score 50.
Yes.
If it's a 10-7 Michigan State Arizona State game, maybe not so much.
Good gracious.
That ends with 12 men on the field. Yeah, it's one of the best.
There should have been a third kick. You know that, right?
Yeah. The two games that ended in the most perfect ways this weekend were El Hasico itself. It ended with an Iowa State player running into his own punt returner, meaning that Iowa got the ball back, and Iowa literally won the game on a punt because they just took a knee and game over.
Oh, man.
That is just the most Iowa thing. And then the second thing was Michigan State losing a game by kicking a winning field goal but having 12 men on the field.
And then on the re-kick, just shanking it.
Just the chief. It looked like I went out there and tried to kick a 50-yard field goal. Just, it was... It, would
it was
have
a
been,
goalpost off.
It would not have been good if there were four goalposts.
Man.
Well, you've got one more game that finished in awesome Texas fashion.
Which we're talking about.
Friday night, Mac Brown got to walk on the field with one finger up, just asking like for a second back. Just didn't like get it this time.
Man, just like the 2008 Big 12 championship.
No, it was 9 because that was in the Nebraska game.
It was Nebraska and Indomikong Sioux.
Oh, yeah. Nebraska won that game.
Texas won that game. But
Texas won the game, but Nebraska should have won it had Matt not gotten 1 second back on the clock.
Didn't get it this time in North Carolina.
Well, one more.
One more Booker?
I got one more Barner.
Mississippi State, Ryan Starrett's Mississippi State Bulldogs, who...
Lost to Kansas State.
What
In that same context, and you're making fun of me, I'm giving the quarterback a Barner for the crazy almost fourth down conversion.
He almost died,
but he almost got the first
It looked like something that would happen on Madden, like 5 years ago.
That's a John Boy
special. Have you guys seen the video on...
Where he just goes into space
and then goes into the ocean.
Yeah,
and the whale
he's eaten by a whale. Oh,
what a good thing.
I got an obvious Barner of the week. It's Primož Roglič, the Slovenian cyclist.
I'm sorry. Did you sneeze?
No, Primož Roglič. Lada Jumbo is his team name. Not only is he the first member of Lada Jumbo to win a Grand Tour, he's the first Slovenian to ever win the Vuelta a España, the biggest race in all of Spain. And so shout out to him. It's the last big Grand Tour. So cycling summer is almost officially over. All that's left now is the World Championship.
Why do they cycle in the worst part of the year?
Well, because if you've been to Europe in the winter?
Oh, it's real cold.
Right.
But you got to follow it spring.
Because it's nice out there now, usually.
Okay.
In the spring, it just rains.
Oh.
So at least in the summer.
No cycling in the Southern Hemisphere?
Oh, there is. That the season goes year round. So like the
South Africa,
Australia.
The first race is the Tour Down Under. That's Australia.
That sounds like a terrible.
Yeah, and there's a Tour of Oman that's real nice, because like when you do Oman in December,
is there one in Cape Town?
The weather's incredible. Yeah. There's a tour in Dubai. There is a tour. There's a little tour in South Africa.
In Argentina? Anything like that?
I don't
make them go up the A's.
South Americans aren't really
Colombia is huge into cycling. That's first ever Tour de France winner, and they had have a really big race there. A really big mountain bike race there too. We have to like carry your mountain bike across rivers, like including the Amazon. The Amazon doesn't go through Colombia, does it? I want to say that you have to carry your mountain bike across the Amazon in this mountain bike race, which is wild. But anyway,
probably time for our second break, right?
Let's do it. Ba-da-ba-ba-da, break.
There we go.
All right, let's move ahead on to look ahead to the my most hated team in the SEC, the Texas A&M Fighting Texas Aggies.
Crow, are you a common commenter on TexAggs.com?
No, but I know some folks who are TexAggs commenters.
TexAggs.com, eh?
It's like if the bunker was worse.
Oh, Alabama has their own version.
It's like Bama Hogville, Online, Hogville, and
I think TexAggs is a special kind. Like I'm not even that familiar with it, but I've heard the stories.
And the thing about TexAggs
is it like tiger droppings, but for
but except that
it's a little more militant.
Yeah, they're mean and like also really well connected. Like it'll be like actual board of trustees
just
of the university when we post
inside
things.
Tip.
Yeah, and like. We're going to get so-and-so, like the, I want to say the last coach that got fired, it was dropped on TexAggs before it actually happened, because the guy was like, I'm firing him tomorrow. But it's wild.
Yeah, I've been to whole College Station before, and it's a weird place.
It's a good place to go one time.
Weird place. They got a golf course in the middle of campus.
Ooh. They do have a golf course.
Okay. Piques my interest.
No, it's not
good. It doesn't look good.
Oh, well, come on, guys. They're in ag school.
This is how I describe...
You gotta be able to grow grass.
This is how I describe... Well, it's in hot, that place dry. Stinks. This is how I describe it. It looked like Jacksonville State in Texas.
I haven't been there either.
Well, the buildings are all kind of nondescript. And
80s ROTC style?
Yeah, I get it. It's just weird. Okay, I've been to... 3 Big 12 schools now. Yes, I'm referring to Texas A&M as a Big 12 school.
Sure.
And they all had the same exact architecture, and it's all like sandstone buildings, like facades on the buildings and stuff. It was all kind of weird. Kansas State, Texas A&M, and Missouri. Yeah. So I think it's just a thing out that way. I don't know. But the buildings were all really nondescript. It was... kind of a spread out campus, pretty big campus, or it seemed to be pretty big to me. I mean, there's a golf course. It was not, I don't know. It was.
Did you go to Midnight Yale?
No, man.
I stayed in Houston.
Here's the bad news for Texas A&M is that they're doing a whiteout for this game, and Auburn's never lost a whiteout, guys.
Well, that's fair enough.
1-0. We're going to be wearing white for this one.
It's true. We're gonna be. Are they? Well, no.
Are they wearing?
I guess it's possible we'd be.
They could.
They've done it before.
We would never. They've done it before.
We would never.
I think last time they did it, they wore silver numbers on their white uniforms. It looked impossible to read.
Isn't A&M the same school that tried to do glow in the dark helmets? Like the logo is supposed to be glow in the dark, but you're playing under bright lights, yes. So you can't do glow in the dark.
Look, I think the point we're all trying to make here is they're a bunch of weirdos, and we're gonna beat them.
Yeah, now we're talking Chief.
I mean, they do have an interesting little tidbit. Yeah, you know who the best player is, correct?
Kellen Mond.
No.
It's Chief. Kellen Mond is their best player. Anything you say after this is wrong.
Braden Mann, the punter, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Might be the best punter in the country.
Yeah.
Probably the best punter in like the last 20 or 30 years.
He's really good. He'll probably win the punter.
What makes him so good, man?
I mean, his everything you can measure about a punt, like hang time, like no hang return time. Yards.
Hang together. Yes,
I think it's like he might be the first American to win the Ray Guy Award in the last couple
years. Did you know that there was
I don't know what song you're singing, by the way.
I was about to say, I was going to tell you about it. Did you know that there was a television show on NBC in the mornings on Saturdays in which there was a school that had a basketball team that was not only co-ed, but I think everybody could dunk by the end of the season.
It was,
and they were
Anthony Anderson. Do you know who that is?
He's
on Blackish, the TV show.
Uh-huh.
The,
oh yeah.
It's a great show.
But he was in this show. As
hang time.
Is this like
an actual
90s?
Yeah. An actual
Saturday morning.
Former NBA player NBC. Was their head coach on of this high school.
Who was the head coach?
Oh, hang time NBC.
Oh man,
I can see him.
So. It came on around this Saved by the Bell. The new class also came on during this time. I think
September 9th, 95 to December 16th, 2000.
I think it crossed over, not crossed over in the show, but
on TNBC, which was their morning like teenagers only.
Yes, they did teenage
morning
programming
version midnight.
While other people were doing children's programming, they did some teenage programming. I think it crossed over with...
Teenagers are noted for getting up on Saturday morning.
Dick Butkus was their coach at one point. I forgot about that.
It crossed over... It didn't do a crossover that I know of. With, but the time it was on also was Saved by the Bell.
Reggie Theus. Former NBA player Reggie Theus. Yeah, who was actually the former head coach of Cal State Northridge. In the Sacramento Kings. Played the coach of this stupid high school.
Isn't that a hockey team?
Sacramento Kings play.
There's somebody else, and my phone is now dead, so I can't look at it. There's some other semi-famous people that ended up in this show.
Hillary Tuck.
Nah.
She's at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Jay Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, Jay Hernandez. He was in a movie with Kirsten Dunst.
Crazy Beautiful.
Spider-Man?
Crazy Beautiful.
Crazy Beautiful.
Oh. Yeah. Philip Alexander Glasser. You don't know who that is, Ryan, but he was the voice actor for the animated character Fifel.
Oh,
Mauskowitz.
That's right.
In the movie,
that's right.
American
and this
tale.
Kid was playing basketball at the school, and his similar to Fievel himself in stature. He is not a big guy.
At the end of every episode, Ryan, they play a basketball game. The beginning of the whole rest of the episode, there's these situations, and they're funny. It's a situation comedy. And by the end, they've got to play a game. And there's girls on the team. At no point is it ever mentioned why they play a co-ed high school basketball league. They're throwing alley-oops to each other.
It's pretty progressive for the mid-90s, huh?
My friend and I used to always think about, like, are they playing on a, what seems to be...
Oh, it was a...
30-foot-long
tiny court.
Like...
With 8-foot goals. Like, it was not...
They were playing on a ping-pong table with goals at the end.
But it was very similar to Saved by the Bell. Have you ever seen an episode of Saved by the Bell, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that came on Nick and I as well.
Running together. Hang time.
It was sort of a similar type of show, I guess, is the way to put it. It wasn't similar to that show. It was a totally different show.
They won multiple awards for its accurate depictions of drug use in season 4 episodes High Hoops and Breaks of the Game.
Yeah, they had a lot of serious hard-hitting stuff on
then
the show.
Somebody was taking roids, I think. And then at the end, guess what? They smoked some other high schools. Guys, yeah. The Texas A&M game.
It's going to be much like Hang Time the Show. It's going to be award-winning.
Yeah.
Not for drug use.
Smoke them.
And we're going to smoke
them. Texas A&M is 3.5-point favorites at home, which is a buddy of mine who bets on NFL games has always told me that 3 points is what an NFL line is if it's really a push.
Yeah.
3 points means the home team gets 3 points for being the home team.
Yeah, it's kind of like on a video game where the home team has a little bit.
So, if that's the case, I don't know if it's the same in college gambling. You got to think these two teams are Vegas thinks they're about the same.
Right.
I think so.
They're pretty close.
They're close in S&P, right?
If you look at SP, no and.
He got SP Plus. By the Standard & Poor's.
Oh, did he?
A&M is number 11 overall, 32nd on offense, 14th on defense. And Auburn is 9th overall, 30th on offense, 4th on defense. So, I mean, pretty similar profiles. You were talking about Kellen Mond earlier. He really is the star player on this team.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. I mean, I don't know. You saw him last year in the Auburn A&M game.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good, but he's not great. I mean,
this feels like
can
a
still
Jimbo,
be exposed.
This feels like a Jimbo team without Jameis.
Right. I mean, they don't have Travion Williams for the first time in 4 years. So,
who kills Auburn.
Yeah. Only do they not have Travion, but I think they also lost their starting running back for this year.
They did.
So they're down a few guys. I don't know. I mean, you saw him against Clemson.
Last year we won that game with 19 yards rushing.
Yeah, we stopped running the ball.
And 278 total yards, so they're 423 total yards. They had 200 yards rushing.
And we won.
And we won 28-24.
Seth Williams.
We only had 259 yards passing, so we really didn't do a whole lot of anything on offense.
Yeah.
But we won.
Auburn is 3-0. A&M is what, Ryan?
2-1.
That's right.
We're the better team. We're the better team.
The game we played on what surface?
Clearly.
Do you know that?
What's that?
What surface do they have there?
It would be really funny if the Aggies did not have a grass
field.
They
have a grass field.
Okay.
Auburn is undefeated on grass this year. Is A&M? No, they are 2-1 on grass.
Well, that does it right there.
There we go.
I do think Auburn should win this game.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel fairly confident that Auburn can win this game.
Yeah, it.
Auburn's never. Sorry,
we still have a freshman quarterback.
We still have a freshman quarterback. I mean, I'm not sold on our rushing game yet.
Yeah,
as good as they looked against Kent State,
Kent State, they're
so bad.
I'm a noted skeptic of our.
But
offense,
I really think our defense is going to be able to hold them in check. I mean, like I said, they only scored 10 points against Clemson, and that was a late score.
Yeah.
Kind of just thrown on at the end of the game. I mean, Clemson really just shut them down.
Garbage time.
Right. Clemson really shut them down. And I don't think the Clemson defense this year can do anything that our defense can't.
Yeah, the Tigers are 4-0 in the last four games after accumulating more than 450 yards in their previous game.
It's a great
score. Also 4-0 in the last four games.
4-0. Sorry, that's against the spread.
You're a regular Josh Dubb over there.
I'm trying to do this before he puts his out. I'm just reading mine from covers.com. Tigers are 4-1 against the spread in the last five games on grass.
So
the last... Is Jerry World grass or is that turf?
No. It's
so do we think we'll win by...
Shredded money? Is that what
it is? Shredded money.
Yeah, we're just going to win. Do we think we'll win by a touchdown? What do we think?
This is going to be a close game. I don't think any team, either team, would win by more than 10.
The road team is 6-1 against the spread in the last 7 meetings of these two schools.
Well, that just means we have to lose by less than 3, though. So.
Well, you know, Texas A&M has never beaten Auburn in College Station.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. The home team
has not won in this series until last year.
Yeah, we're the only one that's won this series.
And we're going to do it in Cowfield again.